Thank you, young people. Have you ever found yourself saying something like this? Yes, you can have some as long as you share it. Sure, you can take it, but you're going to have to share. You can't keep it all for yourself. Tonight, the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, I would entitle it, Please Share Your Comfort. Please share your comfort. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can turn in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 to 7 in the time that the Lord gives us tonight. Do you ever find yourself in a situation where someone needs comfort? Do you ever find yourself feeling completely inadequate? Do you ever feel like, man, I wish so-and-so were here because they would really be able to help this person? Do you ever find yourself wanting to comfort someone, but you just really don't know how? I admit, I often find myself in this situation. I'm not all that old yet. I haven't lived through all that much. I really have had a relatively painless life, all things considered, if we were to stack it up. I'm not really an expert on the topic that I want to talk about tonight. We find ourselves in these situations and wonder, how can God use me to accomplish anything, to comfort anyone? Our passage this evening talks about this subject. And I do make a bit of a disclaimer. I understand that I'm not an expert. If you look at me and think, what do you know about suffering? You would probably be correct. I know very little personally. But the reason that we want to talk about this is because we have the Word of God, and we can lean on that as our authority. Though I may know little, though you may know little, we rest upon the Word of God. Otherwise, many of us would be eliminated right off the bat in many topics in life. So tonight, not through my great expertise, not through my great example of suffering, but through the authority of the Word of God, we want to see what God has to say to us this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7, and then we'll pray. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ, by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual and enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this evening to look into your Word. Thank you for the freedom that we have to assemble, to study your Word, to praise you, Lord, to learn of you freely. We want to not take that opportunity for granted. We pray for many of our brethren around the world who don't have that same freedom. We pray tonight as we look into your Word that it would not just be words on a page, it would not just be my words, but that your Word would be true and living and accomplish your purpose in each heart here tonight. I yield to you as the preacher, asking that your will be done. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So suffering. If you were here earlier in the year, I shared with you that the Lord has laid on my heart this theme for 2017. So as I have labeled it, suffering with Pastor Alexander in 2017, we'll be suffering together as the Lord gives us opportunity. And once again, not because I have any great expertise or because I enjoy studying suffering, but it's something that as I've sought the Lord for, what would you have me share? The Lord just keeps bringing this back to me. And I've argued with God saying, no, this isn't really my job. This should be someone else's. But I believe that the Lord has a purpose, even as we look at this passage tonight. The first thing I want us to look at, point number one, if you're taking notes, is our suffering qualifies us. Our suffering qualifies us. God gives us comfort in all of our trouble. God gives us comfort in all of our trouble, and He wants us to pass it on. We find that very clearly in verse 4. And we'll get to that in a moment. But let's start with the source of this comfort. The suffering that qualifies us, what's the source of the comfort that we have? In verse 3, we see God. God is the source of this comfort. The Father of mercies. The one who gives what we don't deserve. He is the God of all comfort. He is the one who provides the comfort. That may seem obvious, but it makes all the difference. When you're standing at that bedside, when you get that phone call, and you say, God, I just don't have the comfort to give. Thing to remember, and where Paul starts, he says, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. He is the source. He's the one that it comes from. It's good and sufficient comfort because it comes from Him. He's the God who has all comfort. His comfort is perfect, even though mine is not. And each of us in our Christian lives, as time goes on, we experience this comfort from the God of all comfort. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I trust that's the case tonight, you have the opportunity to experience this God of comfort. If you have not yet come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, turning from your sins, then I invite you to do that even tonight, to get that settled so you can know Him as the God of all comfort. So He's the general source of this comfort. Remember, it's not me. I am not the source of this comfort. I am merely the pass-through. I'm merely the channel, the vessel. I am merely the comfort-bearing messenger. Even if my comfort is not good, His is. And so since He is the God who excels at comfort, I can share that comfort. So the specific source, or the general source, is God. The specific source of this comfort, secondly, are trials. Where do we get this comfort from? Well, God. But how do we get it? We get it through trials. This is where the hard part comes in. We get comfort through trials. Difficult situations. Trouble is the verse, the word the verse uses. Pressure is another way to translate it. Pressure in your life. Verse 4 tells us that He comforts us in all our tribulations. Look at the first part of the verse there. Who comforteth us in, read the word, all our tribulation. Is this your experience? Have you found God to comfort you in all your tribulation? Maybe that's not what it feels like. But God's Word tells us right there, in black and white, He comforts us in all our tribulation. And this doesn't just apply to the severe crises in life. Again, that word has many different translations. You could say pressure. You could say trouble. God's grace. He is a God of grace, a God of comfort, who gives us comfort in all of our trouble. All different kinds of trouble. We're going to touch on this a little later, but something that you kind of start figuring out from that, we get comfort from what? We get it from trouble. So if we want to know more about God's comfort, we're going to have to experience more trouble. This is where it gets kind of sticky, where the rubber meets the road, where you start wanting to back away a little and say, no, really, I'm okay. God, I don't really need to learn any more about this comfort business. But let's look further. We've seen the general source of the comfort, that's God. The specific source of the comfort is trials. Let's look at the specific purpose of this comfort. Why? Why does God give this comfort? Well, first of all, pretty obviously, He gives it to comfort us. That's what we want, right? We want comfort for us. When we are in trouble, we want God to comfort us, and He does. That verse told us. Verse 4, He comforts us in all our tribulation. But then there's a comma, and you see that. There's another purpose. The comfort is for us, but it's also to share. Coming back to my opening words there. Sure, you can have it, but you need to what? Share it. By nature, We hoard, we keep, we hold back. We want to make sure that we're taken care of, that all of our needs are met, that we're covered, that we're going to be okay. But God says, comfort is for you, yes, but there's a that. In order that, keep reading, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So God's comfort, when I receive it, isn't just for me. Elsewhere, God's word expands on how we are examples to others, how the Christian community is watching us, even the lost are watching us, and yet God gives us comfort, and it's not just for me. God gives me comfort for me and my need, but for the good of others as well. So you see, the specific purpose is so that it can be shared. We can comfort others that are in any trouble with the same comfort that we've received. It's like giving someone a miraculous curing serum in the midst of an epidemic and then sending them out to administer that serum to others who need it. It's not just for you. Go help others. Be healed first and then go help others. God gives us comfort so that we can pass it on. So that's a specific purpose. Let's look at the recipients of the comfort. The recipients of the comfort, we already talked about us. We talk about others. We talk, in this case, about sharing in the grief of someone else. Some of you know this, the power of having someone share in your grief when they've experienced what you've gone through. You may know this personally. Maybe someone has come alongside you. Maybe you've been that person coming along someone else. This is the, I know what you're going through, I've been there before kind. Where you've gone through the exact same thing someone else has, and you can come along and you can administer comfort in a very real and very tangible way. Those who've lost a spouse can comfort someone who's lost a spouse so much better because they know what they're talking about. There are many of you in this room that, like it or not, even though you didn't choose it, you have challenging and painful life experiences that equip you to comfort others that have gone through that same experience. You may have lost a job. You may have lost a spouse. You may have lost a parent. You may have lost a child. You may have faced cancer. You may have had that surgery. You may have faced that fear. You may have fought that battle. And there's probably someone here in our congregation who's facing what you've faced or will face what you've faced. What an opportunity to be a blessing. So you can share comfort with those that you can identify with, those that you've gone through the same situation. But here's the big question. Here's where I really think we need to learn tonight. What about those of us who see someone going through something, a trial, a difficult time, and we can't relate? We've never been through that crisis. We've never suffered that pain. We've never had that surgery. We've never had that loss. What about us? What do we do? Do we just stand back and say, okay, I hope God brings somebody along that can help you? Do we say, I'm sorry, I wish I could help you, but I can't? Look at verse 4 again. This is important. Don't miss this. It says that we may be able to comfort them which are in, and read the next word with me, any. Read it again. Any trouble. Okay. So I looked at this word any, and it means any. So you're like, okay, Pastor Ed, you can't be serious. Any trouble? So I looked it up. And yes, any does mean any. Here's what I found. All, whatsoever, every, whatsoever, any, all manner of, always, each, every, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. It means all. That same word there, any, is the same word that earlier in the verse is translated as all. So any means any, it means all, it means everyone, it means everything. You're like, wait, okay. You're trying to tell me that I can comfort anyone who's in any kind of trouble? What in the world qualifies me to do that? I haven't experienced that loss. I can't say to them that I understand what they're going through. How can you look at me and tell me that I'm supposed to comfort anybody that's in any kind of trouble? Well, first of all, it's not me. God's Word says it, and I'm thankful for that. But here's the kicker. Here's the clincher. I may not understand what they're going through, but Jesus does. Jesus understands. We've got to come back to the source of the comfort, remember? Whose comfort is it? Is it mine? And that's where I fail. That's where I fall flat on my face because my comfort isn't good enough. I've tried and I've failed. But it's the God of all comfort. He's the one who comforts us so that we can then pass that comfort along to anyone who's in any trouble. Isaiah 53 verse 4 tells us, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, I realize that the primary point of that is talking about our sin. It's not just our hurts. But Christ is described as understanding our grief and our sorrows. He's experienced the brokenness of our human condition. Hebrews 4, verse 15 tells us that we don't have a high priest who doesn't understand what our infirmities feel like. That he cannot be touched with them. We don't have a high priest who can't relate to us. But he experienced everything that we do. He was in all points tempted. God's word tells us that Jesus understands everything that we go to. And he can relate. He can relate to what they're going through. And he's the one that provides the comfort. It's not about me and my expertise. Or my professional qualifications. It's about knowing the one who gives the comfort. Experiencing that comfort myself and passing it on. The comfort that I've received in my trouble, passing it on to those who are in any trouble. It doesn't say only those who have the exact same type of trouble that you do can be comforted by you. You know what we have in common with those who are hurting? The same God who wants to comfort them and who wants to bring good out of evil. We can know that God and know His heart and pass on His comfort to them. The reality is, if I come face to face with parents who've lost a child, if I come face to face with someone in the midst of a deep tragedy that I can't really relate to, I don't know what to say. I don't feel comfortable. But I can tell them that I know God, and I know what He's like. I know that He wants to bring good out of evil, and He wants to make you more like Jesus through this. I know the God who's in charge, and He's good. And His comfort is the comfort that you need. It's like going to Dr. Smith. And you go to Dr. Smith, I go to Dr. Smith, and I go in there and I have something, let's pick on something more minor. Maybe I have ingrown toenails or something. It's painful. And I go into Dr. Smith and he takes care of my ingrown toenails. And I come back and I tell you, hey, you know what? I went to Dr. Smith and he helped me. Now, I've never had my kidneys taken out. I've never had whatever kind of intense surgery that you're facing. I can't say that I've gone through your surgery, but I do know, Dr. Smith, that even though it hurt, He helped me to get better. I have confidence that He can do the same for you. It's because of the trustworthiness of the one who provides the comfort, not because of the experience of the messenger, that we can pass along the same comfort that I've received. I can tell you, go to God. He has the comfort that you need. God is trustworthy. Pass it on. Share the reputation of this comfort-giving, worthy God that we have the opportunity to get to know. Have you received comfort? Are you passing it on to others? Some of you in here, you can already think of who that person is that you need to pass the comfort on to. Has God spoken to your heart even tonight about someone that you've felt inadequate to share with? I have to share briefly how blessed I've been. One of the great privileges that I've had as being here at Stanley Heights, I get to interact with many folks who know the Lord, who've walked with the Lord for many years in their times of trouble. And I'll be honest, most of the time I walk into that hospital room or I walk into that home, I'm thinking, I don't know what to say. I don't know how I'm going to comfort this. I don't know how I'm going to cheer this up. I can think of a couple people very specifically that I've walked in and I'm just getting more down and more in myself, kind of depressed. As I'm thinking, how can I cheer this person up? And as I interact with God's people, it's amazing to see the comfort that He's given them. And before long, instead of me being there comforting them, they're comforting me and they're cheering me up and telling me about all the wonderful things God is doing. What is that? Except the God of all comfort, who gives grace, who gives comfort to His children. That's a God worth bragging about. That's a God worth sharing about, telling others. I know the God who gives comfort. You can do this too. To the measure that you've received God's comfort, you can pass it on to others. And that's where, secondly, our suffering prepares us. The second main point. First of all, our suffering qualifies us, but secondly, our suffering prepares us. The simple object up here tonight that I think really helps us to understand this. This is a battery pack. Maybe you don't have any experience with battery packs, but these days they're very helpful because we have these small gadgets called smartphones, that the battery doesn't last very long. The longer you have it, the less it lasts. So you end up carrying around either a spare battery or you carry around one of these battery packs. Now, what good is this battery pack? It's only good if it's what? Charged. And then it's only good if it's being depleted, if it's being used, if it's usable. Now, there's big battery packs, there's small battery packs. Usually what happens is the smaller battery pack you get, the less capacity it has, okay, so maybe it'll charge your phone for 2 minutes. I don't know, depending on how big it is. Or you can get a massive one that can charge your phone for days. The battery pack is only good if it's charged, and it can only help as much as it's been charged. If you only charge it 10%, it can only help 10%. If you and I think of our life and we think of our suffering as a battery pack, all of us can give comfort to some extent. But our suffering prepares us. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound, or are many, in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. There's a lot going on there in those verses that I read, several phrases. Let me summarize it. The more you experience the trials, the more you know the comfort. And the more you know the comfort, the greater your ability to pass it on. Now, let's not get this backwards. I don't want to change it and say, well, if you've suffered, then you're qualified. No, because remember, it's not about us. It's not about us and our comfort. But our suffering expands our ability to minister to others. Because we're human. And it means more to us when someone actually does know. When there's a person that can sit there that actually knows what I've gone through, they have a greater capacity in a human form to minister to me. And Paul says here, if the sufferings of Christ abound in you, verse 5, your consolation also abounds. So the more suffering you have, the more consolation you have. And then in verse 7, he says, as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. So the more that God brings you through in your life, the more you're going to know God's grace. And I've stood in the room of people who God was giving amazing, tremendous comfort to that I could not understand. Comfort that I can't relate to because I've never been through it. And they know God in a greater way than I do because through that consolation, through that suffering, they've received consolation that I've not yet walked down that path. Some of you in here tonight, maybe you're going through this. Maybe you are feeling the pressure, you're feeling the pain, and you're saying, why, God, why are you allowing this in my life? And I don't want to be simplistic. I don't want to claim that I have it all figured out. It's not just as simple as saying, God gives you suffering just so you can comfort others. God has more purposes than that in suffering. And I don't have the opportunity tonight to look into all of that. But one of the purposes, at least, if not the only purpose, one of the purposes God allows suffering into my life, into your life, is to expand our capacity. You can only give what you've received. If you know little of the comfort of God, you have little to pass along. So for some, such as in my situation, where you say, I've received very little trials, be willing to trust God that whatever God sends my way is for my good, and it's also for the good of others. The best analogy I can think of is what medical students have to go through to get their MD. Maybe you know a medical student. Maybe you've experienced some of this. I had experience with several medical students during my training. I had one who was a roommate. I have a cousin who's an MD. I've seen several people go through this process of what it takes to become a medical doctor. This one roommate, he really opened my eyes to what they had to go through to become a doctor. And I kind of thought, you know, they have to be smart and they have to work hard, but just all the different things they have to learn. I'm looking at his textbooks. I can't even read these things. They're carrying around these binder rings full of little flashcards, all with the name of diseases that they have to memorize. They have to get incredible grades. So then they finish school. They try to get a 4.0. Then they apply to med school. And it's really hard to get into a good med school. Then even when you get into med school, that's hard too. And so then you're doing med school, you're working, you're getting all this debt, and then you finally make it through med school, and if you do well, then you get to do a residency. And that's where they really beat you up. You have to stay up like days at a time sometimes, and you're going around, you're doing all the undesirable jobs, and all the doctors are yelling at you, and you're going through all this pressure, and it's like, wait a minute, time out! These people are studying because they want to help people, right? They want to become a doctor. That's one of the most compassionate, caring things you could do, is help others. Why would we put them through so much suffering? Why not, like, encourage them a whole lot, right? I mean, they're going to need it. They're going to end up with all this debt and have all these 10 years of their life just to become an MD. Why aren't we nicer to medical students? Why do we treat them that way? Because we want them to be able to help, to truly help others. And if they're not prepared, the help they give out isn't going to be very good. If we just let them do 4 years of undergrad and send them out there and say, do the best you can, they're not going to be ready. Their capacity has not been expanded to where they're truly going to be able to help others. And so it's not that God wants to punish you, but in some cases, God is expanding your capacity. And I don't know every situation in here tonight. I don't know what you're under. But please realize that one of the purposes that God has in suffering is it gives you a greater opportunity to pass on that comfort in a way that people can connect with. God is expanding. He's growing your ministry. As far as understanding trouble, Paul had been through his fair share of it. He went through all kinds of trouble. I won't list all the things he's been through, but elsewhere there's all kinds of different things he went through. Shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonments. Everywhere he went, he got into trouble. In fact, right after his conversion, God said this of Paul. He said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It wasn't that God wanted to punish Paul. It wasn't that God said, okay, you've been persecuting Christians. Now I got you. Now I'm going to put you through the ringer. No. God's plan right off the bat included, Paul, I know what great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. God could have said, I know all the people that are going to be saved. I know what a great impact you're going to have, how much of the Bible you're going to write. You're going to be the missionary that everybody looks to. Paul, this is what I have for you. But God says, I know what things he's going to need to suffer. Because Paul's suffering enabled God to use him better. God was preparing him to reach Jews and Gentiles, suffering greatly for the sake of Christ, expanding his ministry. And again, I don't want to be simplistic. I don't want to say that the only reason that God lets you suffer is so someone else can benefit. God's purposes are much bigger than that. But one encouragement that you can receive along with that comfort is, God, who else are you wanting me to pass your comfort along to? Thank you, God, for giving me this comfort, for giving me the strength and trials and pressure and trouble. God, who else do you want me to reach out to? Who are you preparing me to be a comforter to? Some of you in here can think of that person. Already, God has laid them on your heart. Maybe you see that young mom who needs some encouragement. Maybe you see a young person who's growing up and going through some of the facing the same struggles that you have. Maybe you know someone in a particular battle, in a particular temptation, and you can come alongside them. Maybe you're the one going through the trouble. Maybe God is giving you an opportunity to know more of His comfort and preparing you to be able to pass that along. What about others who you can't relate to? Maybe God has put you in the life of someone else and you can't relate to what they've been through. But remember, it's not about me. It's not about my ability to perfectly comfort. It's about knowing the God of comfort, experiencing His comfort, and passing it on. Please share your comfort. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your comfort that comforts us in all of our trouble. We thank you that we have your word promising us that by your comfort we are qualified to comfort those that are in any kind of trouble. Lord, I pray as we face the times of trouble, the times of trial in our life, that we would not be discouraged, that we would not have our eyes taken off you, but we would realize that you expand how deeply we know your comfort, and it opens up doors of opportunity with others. May we not waste our trials. May we share the comfort that you've given with others. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.